Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was only a matter of time, I guess. America's fully vaccinated, double-boosted, mask-wearing Joe Biden, president of the United States, has contracted COVID-19. According to reports, Biden's now in isolation while he recovers. He's got a sniffle. He'll be all right. Yes, he's at high risk due to his age, but he's going to be just fine, everybody. But that's the least of his worries right now. Let's get into it. It's time for Hold the Line. Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. So here we are. We were wondering for a while out there, how long would it be before Joe Biden actually came down with COVID? Because pretty much everybody gets it. Fauci got COVID. Kamala got COVID. I think Jen Psaki got it twice. And at least publicly, that's what they said. And I mean, I've had COVID twice. You know, COVID. It's a thing that is out there that people get. And now the almost 80-year-old president of the United States who got four, count them, four shots to prevent COVID disease, now has COVID. And he has so far a slight sore throat and a sniffle. Look, he's not just the president of the United States. He's a fellow human being. We wish him a speedy recovery. He's going to be fine. But that then raises so many questions just about policy here, right? Because what does this tell us about the vaccine mandates? Well, first, Biden had to give us the mandatory genuflection to I'm double boosted, double vaxxed, and so therefore I'm okay. Watch.
Hey folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted, symptoms are mild, and I really appreciate your inquiries and your concerns. But I'm doing well, getting a lot of work done, gonna continue to get it done, and in the meantime, thanks for your concern and keep the faith. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah, look, he is gonna be fine. What's amazing is that conservatives, Republicans, we all wish him well, and we're not worried. He's going to be okay. All the indicators are going to be fine. It's the libs, though, who are a little bit freaked out about this. They were having a press conference today in the West Wing, and they were saying, oh my gosh, who was he near and did he spread it? And it's like, this COVID is everywhere. It's all over the place. People get it all the time. You can't stop it, libs. You can't. It's just going to happen. It's like a fact of life now. What's it going to take for them to understand? If you're at risk and you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. The vaccines don't really work that well. I hate to break it to the libs because they're actually meant for the earlier version, not Omicron version of the virus. So there's that. And you're noticing that a lot of the data that's out there, they don't seem to want to tell people very much that there are a lot of people who are fully boosted and vaccinated, fully vaccinated, including getting boosted, who died over this last winter. But they were very old and overwhelmingly very old, had comorbidities, had health issues to begin with. And this is just the unfortunate reality of this virus. But now they're doing this whole thing of comparing when Trump got the virus. Let's recall it was his, he didn't mask up enough. He didn't take the virus seriously. He was reckless. He was a bad person. Joe Biden gets the virus. It's, oh, I guess anybody can get it. Here is a journo over at MSNBC on Biden testing positive. Watch this.
Think about the fact that now we have two U.S. presidents in a row that have had, that have tested positive with COVID. And I think what we're going to see here is likely a different sort of approach to it. Let's remember his predecessor took off his mask, even though it was sort of in the period where he could have possibly infected other people. He didn't want to talk about getting vaccinated at the White House. President Biden, I suspect, just in talking to White House officials, is going to remind people, yes, I could get it, which means you can get it, which means we all have to be vigilant about this.
Meanwhile, Biden's supposed to be the one who takes it so seriously. Remember, he was wearing the black mask outside to take it off when he would go inside of the White House, because that makes sense to no one. But it was all about the show, right? I wear the mask sometimes because I take the virus seriously. But here's Joe Biden yesterday shaking hands at the rope line. Well, let's take a look at this for a second. Here's Joe Biden, everybody. Look at him. He's walking down and he's walking around there. Here we go. Oh! Shaking hands up close, no masks, no masks. Now, let me just be clear. I think this is fine, but all the times before this where he was wearing that mask, last 6 months, let's just say, you know, starting at the beginning of this year, when he's wearing that mask, he's, oh, I'm so worried about COVID. He got sick and he exposed people to COVID. So all that other mitigation stuff, all those things he did were meaningless. If you go out in the rain, you got an umbrella. And there's a big rainstorm, and you have that umbrella, and you're okay, I'm protected. By the way, umbrellas work far better than masks, so put that aside. And then you just say, you know what, I'm only going to have the umbrella for half of the rainstorm. And then you get soaking wet. Does it matter that you weren't wet a few minutes before? No, you got wet in the rainstorm. Basically, what's happening to Joe Biden here, everybody? The whole thing is absurd. The mask wearing and all this other stuff, crazy. And then there are the questions, of course, about, well, how could the president, who is so, generally speaking, secluded and protected from a whole range of things that normal people have to deal with, the White House press secretary, who is doing quite a job, if you just tune in day in and day out, Karine Jean-Pierre, telling everybody, it doesn't matter where the president got infected. Watch.
Where was he infected? I don't think we know. I certainly don't know if you have any thoughts on it.
Look, I don't think that matters, right? I think what matters is we prepared for this moment. I think what matters is what Dr. Jha just laid out. If we look at where we were a year and a half ago, this is a president, when he walked in, one of his first priorities was to make sure we had a comprehensive plan to get people vaccinated.
Okay. Let's just recall that they, including Joe Biden himself, explicitly blamed Trump for not doing enough. When Trump got it in 2020, October of 2020, it was because Trump was reckless, didn't take the precautions. Biden himself played that game. Watch this one.
You deserve a president who understands what you're going through, who sees you where you are and where you want to be. The last thing you need is a president who ignores you, looks down upon you, who just doesn't understand who in God's name we are. That's President Trump. His reckless personal conduct since his diagnosis, the destabilizing effect it's having on our government is unconscionable. He didn't take the necessary precautions to protect himself or others.
Didn't take the precautions. That's weird, because Joe Biden got four shots and still got COVID. So did he not take the precautions? Is he a bad guy for that? Notice how They have no consistency, no honesty. It's just about sticking a thumb in the other side's eye. Your fault, COVID, your fault. They're such stupid babies, honestly. Joe Biden, high on that list. And then there's the more important issue of the vaccine mandates. Let's remember that the federal government under Joe Biden forced vaccines on people and tried to force vaccines on everyone in all 50 states if they had more than 100 employees at their company. And then they were going to force them on everybody else, too. They forced it on members of the military. Forced the vaccine. Why do they make you get the vaccine? Oh, because they said if you get the vaccine, you won't get COVID, whereas if you don't get the vaccine, you'll get COVID and give it to people. So you're a risk to people. They promised, they said, you're not going to get COVID if you get the vaccine. Biden said it a year ago. Watch.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. It's a liar, folks, or a moron, or both. It really depends on how you want to take it. It's not true. And all the mandates, all the policies that he pushed are inexcusable. Inexcusable based on the scientific reality that we all now know, which is that the vaccine doesn't stop the spread, not even a little bit. And that's why Joe Biden, with his four shots, still got COVID. All right, when we come back, we'll have more on this with the host of Counterculture on the Epoch Times, Danielle D'Souza. First, I want to talk to you about a great deal from my friends at My Patriot Supply. If you needed more proof that we're going to have massive food shortages in the very near future, here it is. Many American farmers have announced that they don't have enough fertilizer because of global supply chain breakdowns. As everybody knows, without fertilizer, you can't grow food. You can expect to see prolonged food shortages and sky-high prices for the next year, at least. What can you do to avoid this nightmare and protect your family? It's easy. Visit preparewithbuck.com. At preparewithbuck.com, you'll find a special offer. Get $150 off a three-month supply of long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Don't skimp. Get one kit for each person in your family. Each My Patriot Supply kit has enough food for three solid months per person, providing more than 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. So go to preparewithbuck.com today. Save $150 on each three-month kit you require. More food shortages are coming. Go to preparewithbuck.com. Preparewithbuck.com. We'll be right back with more. Hold the line. Well wishes from the left and right are pouring in for President Biden after it was announced that he has been stricken with COVID-19. For a little while, people thought that maybe even President Trump weighed in. This turned out to be a parody, but it is hilarious nonetheless. In what was attributed, unfortunately, incorrectly to the former president, this came out. Joe Biden, who many have said is our worst president, has come down with a case of the China virus despite being vaccinated. I hope Sleepy Joe is able to bounce back quickly as much as I was. Joe, I wish you a speedy recovery. Even though you were taking America in the wrong direction, no one wants Kamala. We've been told that's apparently not from the president, but it was still really funny. And it certainly sounds like something the president would say. Joining me now to actually talk about the reality of what's going on here, host of Counterculture on the Epoch Times, Danielle D'Souza. Danielle, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Buck. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, I just think it's interesting. As soon as Joe Biden gets COVID, there's all this concern, but no, which is fine. I mean, but he's going to be fine, just as Trump was fine when he got this. But there's no blame. And there was a lot of blame that the media put on Donald Trump when he was president and he got COVID. And even Biden himself publicly blamed Trump for it. Feels like there's a double standard.
Of course. I mean, when Trump had COVID, they were literally making charts, making maps, trying to figure out where exactly he got COVID, who exactly he interacted with afterwards, who could he have spread it to, and if he possibly spread it to someone, or even one of us spread it to someone, we're evil. And yet with Biden, they're basically saying it doesn't really matter how he even got COVID, and they won't even answer today exactly when he was tested and how he got it, and they don't seem to know or care.
Here was Biden. I mean, because I want to take a moment to also remind everybody that Joe Biden was someone who pushed a lot of things about the vaccine specifically that ended up to be untrue. I mean, that whether he knew it or not, what he was saying was not true, was incorrect. And a lot of very sweeping and I would argue tyrannical policy was rooted in what turned out to be lies. And one of Biden's lines that you would hear starting really in August of last year until January of this year, and this is from January 4th of 2022, Biden kept referring to a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Watch this.
So there's no excuse. No excuse for anyone being unvaccinated. This continues to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated. So we got to make more progress.
He's gotten four shots, and now he's got COVID. Now, you can look at all the data, Danielle, as well, to show that the shots did effectively nothing to stop Omicron from spreading and actually weren't even nearly as effective at stopping serious disease as they told us. But, I mean, I think Biden owes everybody an apology that I know is never going to come, but he still owes it.
Of course, I fully agree with you. And I also think let's take a step back and look at the fact that he's demonizing people who are not vaccinated, putting them into a really a secondary citizen class. And yet our side, when we see that he has COVID, says, oh, I hope you feel better. I hope you're okay. And we're always the ones who are really just wanting the best for everyone. We actually don't wish any ill on Biden. And yet he was actually demonizing people who were unvaccinated, which is something that would never do to him.
Yeah, it's really been pretty grotesque to see the way the media has treated this issue. As I said, on the one hand, when Trump had it, it wasn't only that it was his fault. It was that Trump is a super spreader. We showed video at the start of the program, Danielle. Okay, so Biden likes to wear his little black mask, you know, when he's walking from the helicopter to the White House over the White House lawn. But that didn't stop him from getting COVID. And here he is yesterday, shaking everybody's hands. So because they don't like Trump, he's reckless, he deserved it, and he's a super spreader. Well, what's going on with Biden here?
Yeah, their messaging is totally inconsistent. I mean, even today, their whole purpose of trotting out the press secretary and Dr. Zha was to say, don't worry about anything. Even though he has COVID, everything is fine. Well, if you're tuning into the left-wing media the last few years, you would think, oh my gosh, I am not fine if I have COVID. Getting COVID is the one thing I cannot get, because if I get it, I may die. Even if I am double boosted, double masked, getting COVID is the end of the world. And so I think our messaging today to say, hey, everything's fine, is really not consistent with how they've acted. We actually would say, yeah, I think that you are going to be okay. And a lot of people who have gotten COVID have been okay.
Vice President Harris took today as an opportunity to tell everybody that you should get twice boosted on top of the two shots for the initial dose. Watch.
Before I begin, I do want to speak about our incredible president, Joe Biden. This morning, he and I spoke by phone. He is in good spirits. He is feeling well. He is doing well. He is fully vaccinated and twice boosted. And of course he is. And as everyone we who would encourage, who is eligible, would do the same.
Everyone should get twice boosted. I would just note that they actually, if you believe that that's a good idea, everyone really needs to get twice boosted again this fall when there's a new variant of COVID, which everybody already knows is going to happen. And even Pfizer is saying there'll be a new round of shots. So Danielle, you're not really fully vaccinated as far as this White House is concerned until you get to shot number six.
Of course, it's a never-ending number of shots, but I just want to point out the fact that Kamala Harris looks way too excited when she's talking about this. I mean, she's like laughing when she's saying this. So I don't know if she's just so excited about Biden's situation or she's so excited about vaccines and more boosters. But I do think that they're very trigger happy, so to speak, to just inject you with some kind of, you know, new booster every single year, even maybe more often every single season. Because at this point, we actually know that that's not going to change anything. Yet we know that that's something they're going to continue to push, even though Biden clearly, you know, boosted, vaxxed, all these things, has COVID right now. Yet they're going to keep pushing this in the same moment, not even the next day or afterwards, but actually at the same exact time.
And they're not only pushing vaccines, continue to push vaccines. Here is the White House COVID response coordinator, Dr. Ashish Jha, who is still insisting, for example, that even though like Biden would mask up sometimes, but I guess he didn't mask up hard enough, as they say. Dr. Jha says masks work to stop COVID, so we need to have them for everybody again. Watch.
President wears a mask, he's well protected, but he's still got COVID. Is this the time to really realize that masks may not really be as effective as, you know, we try to make them to be?
So I think the science on masks is actually quite clear, and there is broad agreement among public health and science experts that masks work. Higher quality masks work better than lower quality masks. He wears, every time the president wears masks, he wears high quality masks.
No, okay, how much better? And how well do the high quality masks work? How well do the low quality masks work? And how well do they work if you don't wear them all the time, which nobody does, which is why this whole thing is so bleeping stupid.
Nobody does. Biden doesn't. Harris doesn't. Pelosi doesn't. Even today, Biden releases a video of himself explaining he's okay, yet he's not wearing a mask in the video. And someone's obviously taking this video of him because he's not holding the phone. He has someone taking the video. And someone even asked his press secretary about this, you know, were you actually taking precautions for this person? They couldn't answer. So they clearly don't even care about wearing masks. And they even don't wear them when they have COVID.
Ridiculous. Danielle, thanks for being with us, though, shedding some light on it.
Thank you.
The midterm elections are coming up fast, and there's a good chance the House of Representatives will be in Republican control when all said and done. We'll talk about the state of the race with the CEO of American Majority, Ned Ryan, coming up. Right now, let's talk about protecting your most valuable asset, your home. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a recent story about an Arizona real estate agent who found the home she lived in was listed for sale. Problem was, she wasn't selling her home. She was the victim of home title fraud, a devastating crime happening all over the country. According to the experts at Home Title Lock, the crime is incredibly profitable and hard to detect. An identity thief simply creates a fake title transfer for your home and refiles as the new owner. Then he can take out loans on your home or sell it. Typical identity theft services don't cover you, and neither does homeowners insurance. Home Title Lock does. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down and help get your home back in your name. Here's what you should do. Go to HomeTitleLock.com now and sign up. When you tell them Buck sent you, you get 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be right back with the CEO of American Majority, Ned Ryan. Stay with us. As we get closer to the midterm elections, it remains likely that a red wave is going to sweep over the House of Representatives. Not only Republicans, but Democrats are now upset with the way the country is moving backwards under President Biden, plummeting approval ratings, inflation through the roof. So will we see some Democratic voters jump ship and join the right and be in the right on Election Day? Join me now to discuss CEO of American Majority, Ned Ryan. My man, Ned, how you doing?
Doing well, Buck. Good to be back with you.
So let's set the table here, okay? Going into, we talk about the Senate. Senate looks like it'll be close. House Representatives, we got to win. If we don't, I mean, why are we even showing up to pretend Republican Party matters? But how much do we have to win by? I mean, here's a graphic showing the current House balance of power. Democrats 220, Republicans 211, need 218 for control. What's your target, Ned? What are we trying to get to?
Well, first of all, Buck, you're right. If we do not take the majority back in the House, in a year like 2022, when all the dynamics are in our favor. I mean, again, this is a political climate that goes back to really 2010. But I would tell people for perspective, I've seen recent approval polls with Biden's approval in the low 30s. And right before Democrats got wiped out in the 2010 midterms, Obama was about mid 40s. He was 44.7. So when a president is that far underwater, the party in power in the White House is that far underwater, it does not bode well. So we've really got to gain just a handful of seats to take the majority back. But I don't want to settle for that, Buck. I think we need to go for 40 or 50. And I think that's very doable. If you look at some of these districts, and I've even been saying this in a variety of places, Buck, based off what I saw in Virginia, and again, that's where I'm at. I'm in Loudoun County, a state that Biden won by 10 points in 2020, Youngkin wins by 2. And I want people to look at that and realize, I think in these midterms, anything, any of the new districts, and there's about 45 Democratic districts that are Biden plus 12 or less, I think all 45 of those are absolutely in play.
That's remarkable. I mean, that would be a red wave, the likes of which we have not seen in a long time. And you could have Republicans in a position of power in the House that would go back to historic proportions, right? All-time proportions. Here's a chart, Ned, from Real Clear Politics that shows the generic congressional vote. From July of last year to July of this year, the generic vote has kind of done a 180 in favor of Republicans. I mean, the based on the data, everyone can assume the economy, inflation, huge part of this. But are there any other things that are really moving this in the direction of, is just the realization that Joe Biden and his party haven't gotten anything done? I mean, what are the key indicators here, or rather the key signposts along the way to what seems to be a huge shift in sentiment toward the GOP generic candidate?
Well, I think part of it comes from the Biden White House. You're seeing in the more recent polls, in which he has absolutely plummeted with his approval rating, they're asking, do you think that Joe Biden has the answers or the ability to fix these problems? And of course, a lot of people are saying no. The overwhelming majority of people are saying no. Again, because I would remind people, they're not interested in solutions. All of this that has brought about the inflation and the high gas prices, it's intentional. So of course, they don't have the solutions because they don't want the solutions. What they are doing is absolutely intentional. But the other thing I would point out, Buck, that's always an important dynamic. You've always got the red versus blue teams, and a lot of the red's going to vote Republican. A lot of the blue are going to vote for Democrats. Don't forget the independent. And a lot of these approval rating polls, Joe Biden's at 19%, I've even seen in some of them, but most of the time in mid to low 20s. That's staggering, those numbers that the independent voters look at the Democratic Party and Joe Biden and in such low approval ratings. And I think a lot of them are going to vote Republican. That's where you're going to see the major shift in the electorate. Because again, a lot of people vote either Democrat or Republican based off their actual affiliation. It's the independents, of which there's a significant amount, that I think are going to really prove the difference, because they have absolute disdain for Joe Biden and his policies.
Do you think there could be some major upsets or some pickups of Republicans winning a congressional race, let's say, in what was a deep blue state that would have been unthinkable even a year ago?
I do. I've even had the thought, and it sounds maybe a little crazy right now, Buck, but these trajectories, inflation's not getting better, Joe Biden's approval ratings are not getting better. All of these trajectories, as you get closer to the midterms, and we're not that far away, they start to harden, and they're going in a certain direction, which is not good for Democrats. I think, and I know this sounds crazy even as I'm saying it, if anything, that Joe Biden won by 20 points or less in 2020 might actually be in place. So think about the 45 Democratic seats that are plus 12 or less. You might even get up to the plus 20 range or less that Republicans could absolutely be competitive in and sneak a few House seats. And I think even maybe sneak a Senate seat or two as well.
Here is MSNBC, for example, worried that losing the midterms could be worse for them than even losing the presidency, they say. Watch this.
We're approaching the 100-day out from a midterm. If things don't go well in the midterm, meaning if these election deniers win Secretary of State, win governorships, win Attorney General, take back the Senate, take over the House, it doesn't matter who's on the ballot in 2024.
Dowd is a moron, but I do think he's right insofar as if Biden has a divided Congress going into whatever the reelection cycle is going to be, whether it's Biden or somebody else, it's not going to be good for the Democrats.
Well, but even more, that's probably the most intelligent thing I've heard Dowd say in years. But I think what he's really alluding to, Buck, is even beyond the federal races. There's 36 gubernatorial, 35, I think, attorney general, 26, 27 secretary of state races this midterm. If Republicans can take the gubernatorial seats, and I think they have a legitimate chance in all of these, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, maybe even in Nevada, you win 2024 by winning in 2022. Democrats can't pull the same tricks they pulled in 2020. If you're holding on to the gubernatorial and the secretary of state and you've got all the legislative seats, I think really what Dowd is realizing that if they get obliterated, not only at the federal level, but at the state level, Democrats are going to have a very, very hard time winning in 2024 because they can't pull the Center for Tech and Civic Life. They can't skirt state laws and constitutions. They can't pull the universal mail-in ballot tricks that they pulled in a lot of these battleground states in 2024. That's what he's starting to realize.
And it might be a rough election for some rhinos out there, from what I understand. Wyoming GOP primary race, for example, shows Liz Cheney behind Harriet Hageman. I don't know Harriet. 31-59. Liz Cheney, she's going to lose her seat, you think?
You know, the only dynamic that people should be aware of is Democrats can cross over. And a lot of Liz Cheney's campaign right now is trying to get Democrats to cross over and vote for her in that primary. It's an open primary in Wyoming. There's just simply not enough Democrats in the state of Wyoming, though, I think, to save Liz Cheney. But the August primaries are going to be very interesting, Buck. I would encourage people, August 2nd, got some really interesting primaries in Michigan and in Washington State, in which Trump-endorsed candidates are going up against impeachment voters. And then you've got also a couple weeks later that Wyoming primary as well. So I think you're going to see some pretty interesting results in Republican primaries in August. And it's also going to be another telling sign, how is Trump's endorsement record going to hold up against incumbents? But again, these incumbents voted for impeachment. I think a lot of them are in serious trouble, like Liz Cheney.
Ned, thanks so much. Good to see you.
Thanks, Buck.
DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas declaring our southern border secure, despite the fact that at least 2 million illegal immigrants have crossed into the U.S. this year alone. We'll have more on that with the Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Chris Cabrera, when we return. First, I want to talk about a potentially huge opportunity. A lot of you are worried about food shortages and power outages and things getting really unstable. If you look at the skyrocketing cost of energy, food prices, all this stuff, it makes you think maybe time to go off the grid. Many are choosing to do just that. When you think of going off the grid, don't think of being on some remote mountaintop somewhere without any of the amenities you're used to. You can do off the grid in Panama and have a modern home there for only $100,000. These homes are fully set up on a self-sustaining farm with all of your needs met right on property. Panama offers a stable government, cost-effective, high-quality medical care, and a fantastic climate. There are only 24 homes being offered in the community, so reach out to them quickly at offgridpanama.com or call them now at 904-236-4737. Once again, offgridpanama.com or 904-236-4737. Be patient, leave a message. We think it's going to sell out quickly, but they'll get back to you. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line.
The border is secure. The border, we are working to make the border more secure. That has been a historic challenge.
I mean, seriously, how can the United States Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas there, say that our southern border is secure and keep a straight face? I'm really curious. There are more than 207,000 migrant encounters in June alone, the fourth month in a row where the number of encounters breached the 200,000 level. But unlike Mayorkas, our next guest has real firsthand experience of what's actually going on down at the border day in and day out. He says it's anything but secure. Here's the Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Chris Cabrera. Chris, great to see you again, man. Thank you for giving us the time.
Not a problem. I appreciate you having me on.
Someone asks you the very straightforward question that clearly Mayorkas had asked of him. Is the border secure right now? What is your answer, Chris?
You know, the border is anything but secure. And for anybody to say otherwise that is in this job, they would just be, you're just flat out lying. And for the head of the Department of Homeland Security to say 207,000 people that we know of have come across, if that's security, I would hate to see what insecurity is like.
So who is being let in right now and who is being turned away? I mean, you know, we're talking about over 200,000 people a month that they are telling us about that they know have been let into the United States. I mean, Chris, are we looking at, is it almost all or mostly family units? Are there a lot of single adult males again? I mean, who comprises these groups, these massive numbers that we're seeing every month?
You know, it's a little bit of everybody. I think we're right at about 160 different countries this year that we've seen. We're seeing people not just from Central and South America. We're seeing Georgia, Chechnya, Russia, Pakistan, China, India, you name it. They're coming across. And some are turning themselves in, but a good chunk of them are also running. We're starting to see a lot more car chases, alien smuggling attempts, and a lot more drugs coming across because they know that we're saddled down with the ones that are turning themselves in. It's all orchestrated to distract us and occupy our time while the others are trying to run and get through us. And I think if Mr. Mayorkas would come down and actually take a look instead of doing the dog and pony show, he'd actually see what was going on. But unfortunately, he's just playing the role of yes man.
So, you know, we're talking usually about, or the focus is usually in the news about the official number, right, Chris, which you know very well, because you're actually seeing those numbers tick up day in and day out. But then there's the gotaway number, right, which tends to be something that gets not as much attention. But Brandon Judd, who's president of the National Border Patrol Council, said about the Mayorkas statement, Secretary Mayorkas knows we have the least secure border in our history, as evidenced by nearly 1 million known gotaways and over 100,000 overdose deaths from narcotics coming across our southern border. There are easy solutions, but based upon the evidence and a refusal to implement programs to secure the border, it's clear this administration, including Secretary Mayorkas, clearly do not care about the American people. Chris, just this gotaway number, first of all, about 1 million? Is that really the number of gotaways? Because those are just people, right, who are usually adult males, right, single males, and also they're just in the country. We have no idea who they are. Is it really that high, the number?
Yeah, the number is at least 1 million. I mean, there's huge numbers that are coming across, and we just don't have the manpower to secure it, much less get an accurate count of what's getting past us. Even though we have the technology, we don't have the manpower to respond to that technology.
Well,
we do have manpower. Unfortunately, that manpower is tied up dealing with the processing and the babysitting duties. So if that manpower would get freed up by putting actual policies in place that would deter folks from coming and turning themselves in, then we could get back to the job at hand, which would be securing our borders from people that have bad intentions.
And can you tell us about the other piece of this statement, the narcotics, primarily fentanyl and opioids that are coming across the border that have led to the highest ever levels of overdose deaths in this country? Are you seeing unprecedented levels of drug smuggling activity going on? And how does the overwhelmed border play into the drug smuggling piece of this?
We are seeing higher numbers. And when I first came in, all you would normally see was large loads of marijuana. And, you know, occasionally you'd see a small amount of cocaine. Now you're seeing meth, you're seeing heroin coming across, fentanyl, obviously cocaine. And they know that we're tied up. So even though we are catching some, we're not catching nearly what we should be catching and preventing it from coming across. That's why so many people are being pushed across this border, because they know it's going to distract us from stopping them moving what they're moving in.
And there's also some attention this week on this issue, because the mayors of New York and D.C. have been complaining that the migrants who have crossed into the country illegally, who are ending up in their cities, are a drain on resources. This is thousands of miles away from the border. Watch this, Chris.
This is a real burden on New Yorkers as we're trying to do the right thing. There's just a whole host of things that this is going to produce, and that's why we need help.
We're dealing with a federal issue that the District of Columbia won't be able to bear. So it requires the federal response.
They're basically saying the federal government's got to pay for all this that's happening in our cities, the resources. It sounds like Border Patrol might need some resources or help or a different focus from the White House to be able to complete the mission set that's being put upon them. I mean, how strained are the resources you're dealing with right now between the humanitarian mission, the national security mission, the drug interdiction piece? Feels like there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and you know, for them, you know, hey, welcome to our world. And you're just seeing a tiny, minute fraction of what's coming across. Imagine a city like McAllen that only has a population of 120,000 seeing 30, 40,000 a month. And we don't have the resources. Our cities don't have the resources. Our agency doesn't have the resources. I think they're just crying. I mean, it's, you know, hey, do your job, you know, and secure this border. If they're complaining about seeing a tiny number, imagine what border states are seeing, and, you know, quit your whining and add to the solution, not cry about the problem.
I know Border Patrol has an intelligence component to it in terms of picking up information, trying to get ahead of the flow. What are your expectations? What are Border Patrol expectations for what the illegal crossings, drugs, and all the rest of it are going to look like going into this fall, which is a midterm election cycle?
Yeah, it's just going to continue to climb. We've been told it's going to continue to climb. We expect it to continue to climb. And unfortunately, some areas are busier than others, so our manpower gets flexed to different areas, which leaves the previous area unprepared and unguarded, and they'll just flex in, or they'll just shift around their traffic patterns to suit them, and we're always playing catch-up because we just don't have the manpower because we're busy babysitting.
Chris, despite all this, appreciate you doing the job, man. We know it's tough these days for Border Patrol folks to actually be able to do what they do, but thank you for that, and thank you for making the time for us. We appreciate you.
All right, thank you. See you soon.
A viral video showing that armed robots are not just science fiction anymore. We got that for you in Quick Hits. Stay with us. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi gets confronted about potential conflicts of interest around her husband's stock purchases. And remember all those videos of the robot dogs from Boston Dynamics? Well, those things are armed now, apparently. We've got those stories in Quick Hits. Let's get right to it. Look, Nancy Pelosi is a remarkable story in American politics, because here you have somebody who is not very smart, but very cunning, ruthless, and has not only amassed a tremendous amount of political power while in office, but also, between her and her husband, have become very, very wealthy. And some people have started to say, well, hold on a second. What exactly? Paul Pelosi, he's an investor. He does investments, but he seems to make some really amazing calls. And do any of them have anything to do with the fact that his wife has been now more than once Speaker of the House in Congress and has business leaders and other people coming to meet with her, as well as knowing what legislation that might have earmarks and might have billions of dollars for certain industries that are about to get spent? Seems like it would be a pretty good thing to have a line in on that information if you could. And people are annoyed by this, understandably, because it's corrupt, if that's going on. Certainly seems like it's going on. Pelosi was asked about it, though. Here's what she said.
Over the course of your career, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on information he's received from you?
What are you saying?
Over the course of your career, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on information you've received from you?
No. Absolutely not. Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely not. No, never. Not in a million years. Do you believe her? You believe her? But by the way, might even be legal information that she'd be giving her husband, which we should probably look at that too, as to why that would be the case. But even still, is it unseemly? She's a politician. Should be held to account for this stuff, but never will be, because she's too important to the crazy libs. And then there's this. You've probably seen those robot dog videos, right? And they're kind of moving a little bit like a robot. They don't really look like dogs. They're not furry, but you know, you can see how they would be in the future. Well, here's kind of a military version of it. Watch. They don't have those yet as an option in Call of Duty. They should. It'd be pretty cool. Jane Goodall is a naturalist, a person best known, I believe, for her study of chimpanzees in the past. And like so many people who became famous when it comes to the natural world, she is unfortunately not very well-versed in history and does not understand that Malthusianism is a fallacy. She thinks the environmental problems we have are because, well, too many humans. Watch this one.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
Gee, that's really smart. I guess we should just have 80% less people or fewer people on the earth, right? That's great. Let's go from 8 billion to a billion. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Thanks for pointing that out there. Just stick to doing, you know, sign language with the chimpanzees out on the savannah. Teacher here claims an entire class of second grade students changed their pronouns, and it's being kept a secret because of unsafe adults. Watch this one.
One of my students felt safe enough to share his pronouns with me. And when he did so, once the class knew that I knew, they all switched pronouns. They're second graders. Like, I'm torn between being really, really happy to be a safe space and just absolutely furious that an entire group of second graders has to keep this secret from not safe people. Why are kids feeling unsafe?
Oh yeah, they're not trying to indoctrinate your kids. Don't worry, that's not happening, sure. That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News with Bill O'Reilly is next. Shields high.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.